Hey, welcome into a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey and Mark Long from the Associated Press, along with Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks. We're all here with you Jaguars today on this Wednesday morning. How you doing?
I am not Jeff Logman.
Drink. All right. Let's see what are O'Halloran and Ozier drinking today?
Because we're gonna
I'll get a sloppy drunk. Log him in. You're all a bunch of jealous catty women, is what you are.
No, that's helmet and heels.
Lauren. Are you guys catty?
Whoa. Hey now. First of all, women are not catty.
See what that board says? That's how much of helmets and heels ladies
Mike
like
is
me.
The king. Who's
says,
K?
Mike is
what
the
is
king.
What is that K? Who makes a K like
I think that's a Donna Murphy K.
It right almost there. Looks like Mike is the hing.
Mike is the hing. Mike is the thing, maybe. Someone
thing,
erased
yeah.
the T. Could
yeah,
have been. I don't know. But
anyway.
We are not
doing
catty.
Doing well. How are you?
You're not catty whatsoever?
No. We all love each other.
Is that right?
When we see each other, we say, oh, you know, I love what you're wearing, or we talk about...
Really? All the time?
The weekend. Yeah, absolutely.
What about when you don't see each other?
But do they mean it every time?
Yes. The only time we fight is during pillow fights. That's it.
Oh, we can.
Hey, now. Listen, don't do that to our poor... Don't do that to our poor listening
Happy
audience.
Happy Wednesday morning, everybody.
The helmets and heels.
Oh, the show's
girls
officially off the rails.
In a pillow fight.
It's not even 10 o'clock, for goodness
I know.
Sakes. Oh, my goodness.
Now that's a show I would watch.
Where was I? I would watch my radio every Tuesday night as well for helmets
I
and heels.
I actually would show up for that show.
Would you?
Yeah, go to the studio. Yeah.
Mark, you made the show last night for the first time, just so
I
you know.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We referenced a tweet that you had.
How do you not know that? Were you listening?
You know what? Tuesday night is like the one time I don't listen to the radio. It really is. And it's not on purpose.
One time.
And I will say this. I've thought about this. Like every week this year, I drive home on Wednesday nights from being over here, and I always swear, I'm like, why can I? I need to talk to somebody about switching the lineup, because Wednesday night is awful.
Is it?
It's the... You know, I don't want to say what it is.
Don't.
The show that I listen to Wednesday night is awful by my standards, because I just have, I have zero interest. And, it's the JU show. And so I just can't listen to it. And then I think it's followed by...
Despite Tony, my best efforts. He
is dropping bombs.
And then I think it's...
Unless you come on the air.
And then I think it's followed by the poker show.
I love the poker show.
I don't want either one of them. And I want helmets and heels. I want Monday night. I want football. I want
You're
jazz.
Allowed to tune into helmets and heels on the internet?
I could. Well, I could, and I would.
But you're saying you like Monday night's programming.
I love Monday night programming.
Yeah, that's what
and
I like.
And I probably love Tuesday night programming.
Yes, Miller on Sports on Tuesday nights. That's the highlight.
But Wednesday's a lost night for me on 1010. I can't do it.
Sorry. Oh, well, Wednesday mornings are a lost day for most people.
It's not must listen
likewise.
Radio.
No.
For me.
For you.
And that's just for me.
You're in
all
rare
right.
form this
week. You know what? He is right. I've been on the radio probably as much as you this week.
Well, you were
Monday
angry
night,
yesterday.
And I was angry. I wasn't angry Monday night, but
you were furious yesterday.
I took a shot Monday night that was probably out of bounds, but,
yes, you did.
What'd I miss?
No, we're not going
No, what? Was it against someone on this station or
of
what?
Course, no.
Was it
no.
against me?
No.
Then let's move on.
Okay. But, anyway. Yeah, rare form. So anyway, here we are. I miss helmet and heels.
Why so angry?
I'm not angry. I do.
If you had more helmets and heels in your life, you would be much calmer.
That
See?
May be why you're angry.
I need
angry.
A good pillow fight.
Right. All right, where were we? Happy,
I need some,
happy Wednesday.
I need the girls being catty about each other's outfits, being positive to their faces, but in their mind, I want to know what they really think.
Oh, that would be a good show.
That
right?
would be
or
a
at least
show.
A good like comic strip
oh,
or something
awesome.
Like that.
Yeah.
Graphic novel.
What they really think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the little bubbly, you know, thought bubbles. You distinguish them from the word bubbles. Love our graphic novels. All right. We'll find out why Mark Long is so angry today, as we will get into the current state of the Jags 1 month into the season. By the way, 1 month in is always the best time to look back on the NFL draft that just happened in May. But Gil Brandt did an article that we'll look at. I know the boys were talking about it this morning. On
Alan Hearns would be a third round pick.
Third round pick.
Wow.
You read it as
I
well,
did.
Right?
I did.
Mean, wow. 1 month of productivity will shoot you right up the draft board. And where were you, Gil, on Allen Hurns?
Everybody missed on him except Jed Fish.
I guess so. Well, put it this way. Let me ask you this. If Allen Hurns drops that pass this week, would he be a fifth-round pick? What would he be?
Probably at least a fourth.
Right, because you think, what are the chances Gilbrandt saw that catch or just saw the box score?
Oh, saw the box score.
I'm thinking,
he knows that he has. What is he have three or four? Three.
Touchdowns? Three.
Three. He should have had, he should have five. He dropped one against Washington, and that one, if he just rolls.
Right, that well.
If he probably doesn't bobble it, he probably doesn't fall.
If he just catches it clean and he
then
walks
he probably,
in.
Then
right.
he walks in. Or, he probably could have rolled.
Right, he should
in
have
there.
One in every game so far. Absolutely. At least. Yeah. One in every game so far. But that's why he's not a first-round pick. That's why he's only a third-round pick, according to Gilbert.
He's still great value in the third round.
He's great value as an undrafted free agent. So we could talk a little bit about value. And we're just debating free agent additions by Dave Caldwell and what they mean to this football team. We'll get into that coming up here in a minute. We're going to have some fun today, though. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today. We have a pair of tickets to the game, Jags-Steelers this weekend, plus a pair of passes to the Bud Light Party Zone, the pregame party, and obviously Bud Light encouraging you to enjoy responsibly, okay, and have a designated driver. But regardless, if you want those tickets, it's very simple. It's a category everyone can get on board with. The question of the day is simply, what's your favorite reason to hate the Steelers? There's a myriad of them, right? I mean, just how many reasons do you need? It may be the most difficult thing is getting it down to just a single solitary reason.
Yep.
There's so many to choose.
And then 140
from.
Characters or less on Twitter.
Right, or send multiple tweets if you must, or post on the Facebook page, Jaguars Today on Facebook.
Yeah, it's Steelers week, and I think for a lot of Jaguar fans, at least you have 0-4, you have the home debut, really, as a starter of Blake Bortles, and look, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town, and this was the rivalry for the franchise for the first 10 years or so that they were here when they were both there in the AFC Central. I mean, this was the rivalry game for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're here again. We only get to see it every two or three years now with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town. We heard the Hudson play there to start off the show, man. I get pumped up for Steelers week every single year when they get the opportunity to play these guys. I mean, it's a different atmosphere in that stadium when it's Pittsburgh Steelers.
Has the Steelers been overtaken in terms of fan hate, though, by the Colts or the Titans or the Texans?
I think we do this show, or we would do the show like in the summer where you just, hey, who's your biggest rival? Who's the team you hate the most? And I think Tennessee probably wins that the most.
99 still overrides
because of Jeff
everything.
Fisher.
Yeah, right, and that one season. Three losses all to the Titans.
And kept you out of the Super Bowl.
Exactly. But Pittsburgh still represents among the old guard. You know, the younger fans don't have that same connection. To necessarily, at least. And, you know, some probably hate the Colts. Some hate the Texans because they, you know, they came in as an expansion team and they've always gone toe to toe with the Jags. Fortunato, step away from the whiteboard, please. That is not for you to comment on. That's unbelievable.
By the way, I wrote this story last year and I'll, you know, we'll bring it up again. But, Pittsburgh changed the fate of the franchise to some degrees. I make the argument that that game in Pittsburgh, the playoff game, that they went up there and won. The Jags won with David Garrard on the 4th-and-2 play and the holding call that didn't get called. Ben Roethlisberger running a bootleg on 3rd.
You know what
would have
happened, though? If the holding call did get called, he would have run for 40 on the next play.
Yeah, you say that. Okay. That game changed the fate of the franchise because I'm 100% convinced if they don't win that game, they don't re-sign David. Jack may or may not be back. Jack Del Rio, and that game changed everything. You pay David what you pay David. You're committed to him. You re-sign Jack. Because David went the next week. David didn't play that well.
Was he a free agent? Was he completely at the end, or did they give him a deal with like a year left?
No, I think he was at the end.
Was he?
And he had one. He did not play very well against Pittsburgh. But because they won that game, they go the next week, and he played extremely well at New England, even in the loss. Tom Brady, I think, was near perfect, 27 of 29, just picked apart the defense.
But he made some big plays against Pittsburgh in both the regular season and the playoff game. Overall, you may look at the overall and say, but
that's the game that sticks in your mouth, that is freshest in your head going into the offseason, then
never heard that expression before.
Sticks in your mouth.
Yeah,
taste in your mouth is what
sticks
I was
in your mind.
Sticks
believe.
In your
yes.
mind, or the leaves, taste in your leaving
correct.
Your mouth. You know, then maybe you treat things differently. You don't give him the richest contract in franchise history.
Well, certainly it played a major role in
it. And then they go to New England and they play the Patriots relatively tough. They were tough in the first half. They looked at that team and they go, we need a pass rush to get to Tom Brady. So they go out and they trade the entire draft for Derek Harvey, which was an absolutely doomed move. They thought there were a couple players away. They come back the next year. They sign Jerry Porter, Drayton Florence. And it really, that chain of events where they probably, if they don't win Pittsburgh, they might be getting a new coach. They might certainly be headed to a new quarterback. It just changed the direction of the franchise.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting a new coach at that
point. I don't
know.
I don't know. Maybe Jack, I don't know.
Well, I just think, I mean, if you get him to the playoffs for the
okay,
first
how about
time,
this? You don't re-sign Jack to the big, you don't give Jack the big contract if he doesn't win at Pittsburgh.
Possibly.
So, and then at that point, then Jack's, you know, 1 year left, and maybe you're, you know, and the next year was such a debacle that then he gets fired in 2008. He would have gotten fired in 2008. So then you would have started the rebuild in 2008 as opposed to, or in 2009, which they ended up starting a rebuild in 2009 anyway, but they were pot committed to Jack.
Yeah, the problem is, and you must listen to the poker show, pot committed. That
listen, I am a poker guy, but listening to a poker show on the radio is
epic. I love it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad you do.
The thing about starting a rebuild earlier
as an employee, I think you have to say that.
I do not actually.
Okay. Anyway,
you can start the rebuild whenever you like. Doesn't mean it's going to be any good. You know what I mean? I mean, just if you say, well, they would have started this early, doesn't mean they would have had the right guys in place. Would it have been Shaq Harris? Would they have hired some other GM? Would it, you know, been Gene Smith? Who is in charge?
But
who knows what
if you start
it
a rebuild? Well, or if you don't, maybe if you don't go to New England, maybe you don't think you're one player away, and you trade the entire draft for Derek Harvey. Or I don't know. I just think
I understand. Circumstances could have been different, but just to say that the rebuild would have started that much earlier, it could have been one of many failed rebuilds. Rebuilds happen, rebuilds happen all around the league all the time.
So Tony, find out what head coaches were hired in 2009, and maybe we'll get an idea of who they could have had, because Jack would have been fired in 2008.
Doesn't mean they would have had their pick of those guys,
no,
obviously.
But Jack would have been fired in 2008. Because 2008 was so bad and so awful, if Jack had not
just signed a huge contract, he would have
been fired in
2008. Getting to the playoffs, even if he loses that game, I don't think you don't, how do you not reward a coach if he's had the best season that he's had? You let him coach as a lame duck. Not many guys coach as lame ducks in the National Football League. They just don't.
Wayne Weaver did before, has done that.
I understand.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you do, but I think getting, you know, it was winning in Pittsburgh. But that's still a positive. I mean, you think back, what's the last time you felt good about this football team? It was the 2007 season, right? The postseason. It still provides memories, even if it, you know, set you on a little bit of a different course. Maybe they don't sign David Garrard long term. Maybe the next guy they draft is worse. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't know exactly how it's going to turn out. I think most Jaguar fans would take what happened the way it happened, because right now, what else do you have to cling to? How far back do you want to go to have some positive memories of when this team was competitive?
99.
Right. I mean, that's, you
know, 2005, they made the playoffs.
Right. But were they, you know, I'll never forget Donovan Darius coming out and admitting something they never admit. It was you saw the schedule, right? he knew. He said the next year, he's like, look at who we played. It was ridiculous. They had one of the easiest schedules you'll see in the NFL. Most of the time, you don't hear that kind of talk because, you know, it's the NFL. Everybody's good, Mark, including your Jacksonville Jaguars.
They got that schedule coming up now. A little stretch here where they could all winnable games.
Certainly more so than the first four games of the season. We'll look at the matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers today. You can weigh in. Why do you hate the Steelers? What's your favorite reason? Everybody does, right? Unless you're a bad person. I mean, I think that's pretty evident. So there are no bad people listening to this program.
Vito Stellino loves the Steelers.
Bad person. I mean, see, it's.
Are you calling my mother a bad person?
Yes.
My mom grew up a Steelers fan.
She's not allowed to listen this week.
I think he's calling your mom a bad person.
Your mom is a bad person.
Wow.
And she's not allowed to listen to the program this week.
Wow.
I would ban her from listening to the Fat Tony Show if I were you during Steeler week.
No, I aggravated her on Monday with some of the stuff I did, but that's fine.
That's all right. All right. Well, we got
I don't mind bashing Steelers. Bash them all you want.
Right. Tony's mom included.
So you have two listeners Monday night for sure. Your mom and me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock
on. Take it.
Rock
it.
On. All right.
What else do you need?
641-1010 if you want to get in today. We'll talk about the Jags and Steelers matchup coming up. We'll also take a look at Gil Brandt. A month in, says Blake Bortles would be the hottest draft commodity if we were to restart this thing with Houston on the clock. And I didn't see anywhere where Jadeveon Clowney's name was mentioned. He redid the first 16 picks of the draft, which is kind of a fool's errand 4 weeks in the season. And I don't doubt for a second that Jadeveon Clowney would still belong in the top 16 picks of the draft. He just, you know, if you're just basing it on a month's performance, that's a pretty bad way to go about business. But nevertheless, the fact that Blake Bortles tops the list means I'll be talking about it at least for a few minutes coming up today. 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, if you bleed teal and black, then welcome home. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right.
I'm always right, by the way.
Todd Rundgren doesn't want to work. He wants to bang on the drum all day. Music theme.
Oh, beating the drum. Beating the drum.
Let's bang on the Steelers today.
That's true. We are going to do that today. But that's not the music.
That's not close to being the chief.
Who
scoffed
is it?
At me.
Who's the
Todd Rundgren.
Todd.
And sometimes, you know, it's just
there's no scoffing.
He is scoffing very early. Scoffing at
bang the drum. No idea. Tony, what do you got?
Nothing? No, I got nothing yet.
All right, we got nothing out of the box right there for today's music theme. 641-1010. What do you hate about the Steelers?
Steel? Is she going with the steel theme?
I don't know.
Drums?
She's
theme?
Not.
Okay, that would have been good, though. Still different kinds of drums.
That's true. But no. Maybe.
Trying to think out of the box occasionally.
Yeah.
Out of the box would be, is it Robert De Niro because he was in Bang the Drum Slowly and maybe he's from Pittsburgh? That would be way.
That would be good. Todd Rundgren's not from Pittsburgh, is he?
Todd Haley? Is he in Pittsburgh?
He's the OC up
there.
You got it, Mark.
Ding, ding, ding.
You said you're always
Todd
right.
Haley?
So you had to do it.
It's
Todd Haley
a musician
and then
who has the first name of one of the Steelers. Coaches?
Just let the day happen, okay? Let it unfold. Let it grow
out
develop,
of the box.
Okay?
That is way out of the box.
Let the day happen.
Just let it happen.
Just let it unfold. All right.
Mike, you look like you're blushing for Lauren.
Am I? I don't know.
You look embarrassed for her.
Well, I am.
Yikes. I was going to say, I'm not embarrassed. Should I be?
You should not be.
In the world.
Mark Long is not relenting this week.
I'm telling you. He's coming out swinging. All right, let's talk about Dave Caldwell and free agents. And we were talking about this before the show, and I think people might find this interesting. You contend what? That among the guys that they have brought in free agency, that outside of Cedric Marks, who they re-sign to a deal, they don't view any of those guys as being part of the core, part of the long-term
pieces
future.
Pieces of the puzzle.
Pieces of the puzzle.
Long-term pieces of the puzzle.
And
Alex Mack would have been a long-term piece of the puzzle had they gotten him in free agency.
So the money they spent on St. Beatles, you think, is money they spent on a guy who they don't think will be a long-term piece. Define long-term piece of the puzzle, first of all. What are we talking about here?
Two, you can address offensive line and get a guard. I think they looked – I know for a fact they looked at their offensive line. They knew they had a rookie at left tackle.
Sure.
And Luke Jokel. They were – Brad Meester retired, and they were looking at – Mike Brewster at center, basically another first-time starter at center. And they looked at those two guys. They had a rookie left tackle and a rookie center, essentially. And they said, we got to go get somebody who can play between them. They didn't like Uche Nwere. They didn't like Will Rackley. So they got to go get a guy. Don't want to get another guy. Don't want to have all rookies on the offensive line. Need to go get a veteran who can slide in there and play well until they touch that position. And so they went, looked on the free agent market. Zane Beatles was the best available, had a lot of experience, didn't look like Denver was going to be able to re-sign him. So they went out and overpaid, which you do in free agency, you overpay. They overpaid for Clemens. They've overpaid for Red Bryant. You overpay for guys. They probably overpaid for Toby Gerhart. They got him at a pretty good deal. But all of those, I call them stop gaps because they plug them in until they can address that position. So anybody who sits here and says, well, they addressed the defensive line in free agency. No, they're building this team in the draft. Nick, let's make that very clear. They're building this team in the draft. It's going to take time. And it's frustrating when you hear people talking about, well, why isn't there progress? I mean, we're 20 games in. It's still in
right,
the infancy stages.
20 games in, and they look right now exactly how they looked 16 games ago.
And I get the defensive side. The defense actually looks a lot worse. And I get the frustration on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, you're just now putting your quarterback in.
I understand that.
You replaced 8 of 11 pieces on the offensive side of the ball. You basically blew it up for all intents and purposes on the offense. And they're going to get to the defense. They thought that they had some pieces there, stopgap pieces, that would play well. And they thought that Cyprian and Gratz would take a step, and they've been okay at times. Gratz played a lot better this week than he did previously before his injury. So I think they're going to be okay on the defensive end. And, you know, but they haven't addressed running back. They haven't addressed it. You can't call – Denard Robinson's not addressing – the running back situation. They got him in the fifth round. Storm Johnson is not addressing the running back system.
Well, sure, that position can be.
Listen, not in their
did,
in their.
Did the Rams did the Rams address it with Zach Stacy last year?
If you hit on it, and then certainly Allen Hurns is a perfect example. If you hit on a guy, but in terms of if they're going to take a swing at a position, they're taking a swing in the first, second, or third.
Okay, but you only get three of those every year,
and that's why it's a long, drawn out rebuilding process.
But people get frustrated because not everyone spends years rebuilding.
But not every team is in a bad shape that this team was when Dave and Gus took it over.
What kind of shape were the Colts in when they drafted Andrew Luck?
Well, they had spent an entire decade.
Understood,
with Peyton
Manning. They were 1-15, right?
And listen, they had Reggie Wayne. They had, They had some pieces. They had some offensive.
I understand,
line.
But they were still 1-15. All those
they
pieces
had Freeney
together,
and Mathis.
All those pieces together without the quarterback resulted in one win.
Two wins. Didn't they win two?
I think they're 1-15.
No, they're 1-15. Okay, 1-15. Yeah, I agree with you, and it goes to show you that the quarterback can change everything, especially at a franchise where everything was built around the quarterback.
Well, and every franchise should. They're not all, but.
Yeah,
most of them. Put it this way: they don't like to be built around the quarterback.
Sure, sure. Is
right?
Seattle built around the quarterback? It may be eventually, but it's probably not. It's built around the defense right
it
now.
It was built, and then the quarterback arrived. But I think the quarterback is the most crucial guy
to
what's
over.
Happened.
Absolutely,
I mean, agreed. They've got the right quarterback in Seattle. That a lot of those other things can go away, and they're I think still going to be competitive because they have Russell.
Totally
Wilson.
Agree with you.
The point being, we were talking about, you know, some of these young guys. You said, would you rather bring in a bunch of veterans who are not going to be part of the long-term, you know, answer here? And my feeling is, well, not across the – that's not what I want my team loaded with. But when I'm more than $20 million under the salary cap and I'm not competitive, and you can look at – it's great to have young guys. How about young guys that can play, right? Because – you go out there and you get Dakota Watson. I get you're taking a chance on a guy and you hope.
Another stopgap.
Right, but.
They haven't addressed linebacker.
Right, but okay. Why a stopgap guy? And I get you're trying to hit on a guy like you did with Cinderic Marks, okay? But you went out, Red Bryan and Chris Clemens were not those kind of stopgaps, right? Those guys were veteran guys who could play.
They're both over 30 years old. They're stopgaps. They're signing.
You're
them.
Not hearing what I'm saying here. There's different
you're
kinds
saying,
of stopgaps, okay?
Sure.
You're calling Dakota Watson a stopgap.
But I don't know who was available. Let's go look at what outside linebackers were available they could have paid $17, $20 million to.
That's the thing. The idea that you have to pay $17 or $20 million to all these guys to improve your roster, I think is crazy. They're guys that sign every year all around. Look at Rolando McClain, right?
Well, Cyndaric Marks.
They get him for nothing
Roy
in
Miller.
Dallas. And
Alan Ball.
And he's been pretty good.
Sure.
You know, Darryl Smith, and we all know that they would probably like to have a do-over on Darryl Smith, but he sat around in free agency last year, and this is an example of a type of guy, and there are probably plenty of guys out there that we don't pay attention to because how many people around the league are paying attention to Darryl Smith? You know what I mean? I mean,
he's 30 years old. He was coming off a season where he missed 14 games,
but
didn't play particularly well when he did come back.
Right, but how many games did he come?
You just said it yourself.
He missed 14 games and didn't play well coming back off the injury. The one time in his career that he'd been in that situation up until then, 30 years old is not over the hill in the National Football League, is my point. Not everybody on your roster has to be a 25-year-old. They don't all have to be growing up at the same time.
But when you look at your team and you want to be fast at the outside linebacker, that's how you're trying to build your team, with speed at outside linebacker, then signing Darryl Smith, 30-year-old Darryl Smith coming off a leg injury, I don't know how much... You know, now, granted, you could have got him for next.
Could have got him for a song, because he didn't even sign until June.
But I said this to you. Dave Caldwell will be the first one to stand up and say, probably missed on Darryl Smith, probably missed on Pot Roast. Those on Terrence Stein. Those are the two guys I think Dave Caldwell would say, you know, I'd like to have those do over.
Look, there are a lot of points here, but. It's great to say, oh, we're going to throw, you know, we're going to sign this guy, let's throw a pick. We're going to bring in a Dakota Watson. We're going to bring in young guys that we hope turn into be
young guys
Derek Marks.
Who fit the scheme.
Okay, but how do you know? How much, because he's a certain size, weight, speed ratio?
Sure.
Okay.
And youth.
Watson hadn't played much at all outside of special teams in the National Football League.
Gus knew him from his time at Tampa Bay, right? Didn't Gus overlap with him at some point? I think maybe 1 year.
I don't know if he did.
Okay, maybe I missed that.
Regardless, even if he did, right? Right now, it doesn't look like that's a very good signing. Right? He's not
correct.
Okay, so my point being, you can sprinkle the roster with guys like they did with Clemens and Bryant, guys that you know who are not going to be here 2, 3, 4 years down the road, but right now give you a better chance to compete week in, week out. Because I think there's value to that.
They thought they did that. In terms of when you're talking about sprinkling the roster, they thought they did that with Clemens and Bryant.
I understand that, but I'm saying why is it got to be limited
Gerhart
to those guys?
And Zane Beatles and Tandon Dawes.
See, I feel it's different with Toby Gerhart's a much younger player with much less wear. I think they felt, unless they're just blowing smoke, like Toby Gerhart has a chance to blossom for the first time in his career here. I didn't hear any talk of stopgap. They said that we think this guy can be in every down. Ball carrier, a workhorse running back. He can do it all. He can play every down. He can pass protect. He can catch a ball out of the backfield. They did not sell him as a guy that, and maybe
they're not selling any of those guys. Is that you can't sell that to the public. You can't sell that in the media. I'm telling you,
right, but
I know.
There's a difference between describing a guy in that way, okay, and bringing in a Red Bryant and say, hey, you know what? We think he can help this
football
team.
For 7 months, they told us Henny was the best. They gave him the best option to win. You were buying that? No, exactly.
Well,
so why were you buying Toby Gerhart, but you weren't buying Chad Henne?
I think they
because you've
some
seen
point
Chad
they
Henne
felt,
play. Because you've
at
seen
some
Chad
point
Henne
they
play.
Felt that Chad Henne was their best chance to win.
Eh.
You don't think at any point?
I think that after the preseason they knew that the Bortles train was a coming. And it was just a matter of time, and they couldn't go pub. They weren't ready to go to about face publicly and go, you know what? We said we could probably, he might sit all of 2014. Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. We realize that now. And I just think they publicly, you save some face, and then you've made a strong commitment to Henny. Now you let Henny go out there and fall on his face, which is what he did.
So that's fine. I'd still think
and they're doing,
we're not
and
necessarily
they're
talking
doing that,
about all the same
they're kind
things,
of doing yeah. that with Chris Clemens. They're kind of doing that with Toby Gerhart.
But the idea is they went
They've
out.
They've done it with Dakota Watson already.
Right. But there are guys, look, there are guys, Henny had never had great success in the National Football League,
correct.
Right? He wasn't brought in here to be the savior of this football team. He's brought in to be the backup for this football team. I think, and I'm not saying that Red Bryant and Chris Clemens are brought in to be saviors, but you felt like you knew you were getting a known commodity.
And they've got 12 sacks, the unit as a total.
Which is my point,
the
right?
The defensive front hasn't been
How about
all
some
that
known
bad?
Commodities in the you, other levels of the defense? This is a Dave Caldwell drafted
because you're still
secondary.
Trying to build. You're still trying to build with youth. And you're
but
talking about signing. You want to go
is
sign
the best way for youth
go
to
sign
build.
15, 30-year-old guys and
I
put
don't
them out there.
Sign, Mark, there's a difference between signing 15 guys and having a few more guys who have experience playing in the National Football League. You're playing five or six rookies on offense at a time. Your secondary is all first and second year players, and they're getting whipped up and down the field. Is there no benefit to having a veteran presence out there amongst them that can help the team play better?
What is Alan Ball?
I mean, they have the veteran presence out there. Look, if you want to judge Dave Colwell because the veteran presence on the team isn't working, I think that's fair, especially in that back seven. I mean, they are relying on Paul Posluszny and Alan Ball and Will Blackman, and it's not working. So if Posluszny was here, though. Right,
but if you want to look at those things and say
it's not good enough and part of that is on Colwell, fine. I think that that's completely fair.
I just think the expectations for this team and this franchise got ramped up because of some of these signings, because people viewed these signings, and maybe Dave and Gus have some fault here because they oversold the signings and the free agent pieces, but I think people are losing sight that this is still a ground up restoration that's 20 games in and that's two drafts in, and of the drafts, you're talking about, if you hit on a guy, you hit on a guy. But the reality of what in their mindset is they're getting three starters in every draft.
But when it comes to expectations, most sane people were not predicting this team to be above 500.
But a lot of people had them at 6, 7, 8 wins.
6 wins, right? 6 and 10-ish, right?
Sure.
Something in that range.
But
okay.
That's the high end. A lot of people still had three and four.
But there's a big difference between being 0-4 and being in football games and being 0-4, and as Jeff Prosser said this morning, being on pace to give up the most yards and points in the history of the National Football League.
Agreed.
And you've got a defensive head coach. So I think people look at it and say, wait a minute, what progress? Now, granted, I feel that if Blake Bortles hits, you know, I mean, he continues to develop and he turns into the player that his potential suggests he can be. He can raise a lot, and it won't matter how many, you know, you can hit on a very scant percentage of your hits as long as the quarterback's one of them, and it'll make up for all the rest. But I'm talking about right now, this moment, 4 games into year 2, I think Jaguar fans are scratching their head and saying, where is the improvement in this football team from last year? You've had a whole year to get better. You come in and you say it's only 20 games in. That's a whole season. They're right where they were at this point last year. With the exception now, you have the quarterback in place. You hope you have some of these young guys in place.
And they played three of four really good teams last year to start the season, right? And they've played, how many of these teams that they've played already are going to make the playoffs?
Washington's not.
Okay, so 3 of 4?
Possibly, yeah.
So it's
well,
not
likely
a lot different.
3 of 4.
Not a lot different than
exactly
last year.
Right, but
it's 3 of 4
the
on
point.
The road.
It's not a lot different. Shouldn't you be more competitive in year 2? A year from now, don't you expect this team to be significantly more competitive?
You're not getting what you thought you'd get from Gratz. You're not getting what you thought you'd get from certainly Dakota Watson.
Whose fault is that?
But that's not to say that you need to judge the entire franchise on maybe not on Gratz, but certainly on some of those free agent pieces that you were hoping to hit on that you didn't hit on.
I'm just talking about the big picture. The big picture is they're getting blown out every single week.
And it's still a rebuilding project. And it's not going to get fixed in 20 games. It's not going to get fixed in 2 drafts.
Is it not going to get improved in 20 games? That's the issue, I think, that a lot of fans have.
And I'll tell you that
where is the improvement?
The improvements at quarterback, the improvements on the offensive line.
I'm talking about the big picture end result. You can look at that. You're a fan that's paying season ticket full price. You can look at that and ask, where is the improvement and the results on Sunday afternoon? I think that's absolutely fair.
And yes, and you want to be, and the next step, and Dave Colwell admitted this, the next step this year he was hoping would be to be more competitive, to be in ball games in the fourth quarter. It's a league that's, you know, games are decided by 7 points or less, the majority of them, and they're not in there. They're not there yet. But I just don't think you can look at that Philadelphia game. I mean, you know, yeah, it was a double-digit loss. It was bad, but it wasn't as bad as the final score indicated. I think you look at, you know, San Diego, and you got to take some positives out of that, even though it wasn't pretty. You know, how many times they never in the history of the franchise have they gone out there and like beaten a good team on the West Coast? A lot of East Coast teams struggle out there.
All right. I mean, you can make excuses / reasons for all these things individually. The bottom line is
I'm just saying you can't judge it now. You can't judge it now. And I think to judge it now and expect...
I'm not saying fire anybody, okay? I'm not saying that, but you can judge it now. We do that. We come in here every week and we judge where they stand every week.
But
that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hold them accountable. Is there no so what is this season a write off? Does
you
it
ready
not
to,
matter?
Are you ready to
Due
fire?
Due to the results of this season?
You
no,
ready to
I'm
bench?
Not.
No, you ready to bench Tom Brady and fire Bill Belichick?
They have a track record. This team doesn't.
Well,
none. Zero. None. So, none. Not, nobody on this roster has a track record.
And which is why you are you giving them the benefit of the doubt? That's the question. Do you give them? You give them their full 3 years.
That is the question. How long? But along the way, do we just sit on our hands and say, la-di-da, see you in 3 years? Really? We don't do that. Oh, we got a break. We're way behind. All right. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll get your calls coming up at 641-1010 and continue the conversation on the other side. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right. Already don't like the theme today. Ben Harper, Steal My Kisses. Why do you hate the Steelers? You give us a tweet, a Facebook posting. You can even call it 641-1010. We got a pair of
tickets. And I give you a song.
Away, to the game. And Lauren gives us songs that match up.
For reasons I hate the Steelers.
Songs about kisses. So we got pillow fights and kisses.
No, we hate the Steelers because of Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley so far.
Ben Harper. Ben Harper.
Come on.
Not the steel part. I was going
with
the steel part,
I like the kisses part. I like going with the kisses part.
Whatever.
Sorry.
It's all.
I was going back to helmets and heels and kisses and polo fights.
At MD underscore 1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Tweet us, post on the Facebook page, what have you. We'll get into it. The conversation pretty much just continued where it was going as we went to break. And if we don't get some of these phone calls in, we won't get some of these phone calls in. So we'll pick it back up in a moment. But let's get TJ up first today at 641-1010. Hi, DJ. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you know, I look at the next four games, so I kind of look at it in a positive way. At least we're not 0-8 and then having a stretch of winnable games. At least we're 0-4 and now we have a stretch. At least if we can get a win in Pittsburgh, then we could get a stretch to where we're 500 by 8 games into the season.
Sure, if they win the next four, they could be right there.
It's possible.
I mean, look.
I think this is another buzzsaw week. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm alone there. Pittsburgh losing the way they lost.
Yeah, I think that's an issue too. I really do. I think the overlook factor had they beat Tampa at home and they
absolutely.
Come into Jacksonville. It's
they're
human
feeling
nature.
Really good about themselves at 3-1. They're playing pretty well on offense. Defense isn't horrible. I think you can catch them a little bit. I think Tampa certainly got their attention. They're 2-2, two games back. I just wonder that offense is. I mean, our offense is rolling pretty good. With Antonio Brown and Heath Miller.
Antonio Brown's having the best year of any receiver in the league, period. Period. Not even close. I mean, he's just killing it every single week. He's, there are issues matching up with the Pittsburgh offense, no question about it. Pittsburgh defense, on the other hand, has been mediocre at best against the run and the pass.
So we'll take a shootout. 38-35, win or lose, doesn't matter.
Yes, we would absolutely, at this point, take that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
We agree on the first thing we agree on today.
It may
that
be.
And
did
the
you
helmets
just say
and
the
heels.
Offense can score 35 points in a week?
The helmets and heels.
I don't think people
fight.
Care
we'll
how much
that.
The other team scores if we score 35.
We'll get some defensive.
Well,
scores
what did Tampa score?
27.
Yeah.
With quarterback,
a last second,
a quarterback they didn't want to play, and
Mike Evans out for
a running back
half.
Coming
that,
off an
which,
injury,
which
and,
is again a very similar situation. I think we're talking about the commitment to Chad Henne as a veteran guy coming in, kind of we want you to be the guy that gets us to the bridge to the next thing, whatever, whether that's Mike Glennon in Tampa's case or not. And Lovey brought in Josh McCown, who he had coached in Chicago, and for some reason, a guy who had seen him all these years be nothing but mediocre thought that one half of football under a different head coach's system turned him into a player that he wasn't, and he,
right.
He brought him in there, and, I mean, he still won't commit to Mike Glennon starting going forward, which, I mean, honestly, how dumb. If that were a rookie head coach, we'd be killing him for making a rookie head coaching mistake. Lovie Smith should know better. Mike Glennon just led you on the road to a victory. You just got beat 56-14 last week.
Yeah, but you're in the foxhole with your general manager. Your general manager paid big money to get McCown there, and you're
how big was that money?
Well, wasn't he the number one quarterback
right.
on the
did
free,
the,
free
did the GM did the GM draft Mike Glennon? Wouldn't that make him look good, too, if Mike Glennon turned out to be what they hoped he would turn out to be last year as a rookie?
Did the GM draft Mike Glennon?
I
don't know. I thought Glennon was a holdover. All I know
is... Did the GM... Is the new GM this year?
I thought it was.
Oh, then okay, then he did.
I go back to 2012. Mike Mularkey stuck with Blaine Gabbert out of, I mean, Mike Mularkey really wanted to make the move, but he stuck with Blaine Gabbert way longer than he should have out of respect to his boss, the guy who hired him, the guy who gave him a chance at being a head coach again, Gene Smith. So, you know, everything in the world told you needed to bench Blaine Gabbert.
I get
Mularkey
that, but
stuck with him. But so that's what happens behind the scenes.
It does, but it's also, you can understand a guy being willing to, you know what, for the betterment of the franchise, right? Like Gus talks about it all the time. Let's not be selfish about us. Let's do what we think is the best, even if it doesn't put us in the best position. So if that's bringing Blake along slowly or speeding up the process, whatever that is, what's best for the Jaguar organization, it's tough to do. But in the case of Mike Mularkey, I think it's more defensible to go with the draft pick and let's exhaust the possibility that this guy is the guy rather than let's go with for an extended period of time with this guy who's clearly not getting it done and hold back the young guy. You know McCown's not leading you anywhere. At least you should.
How much did they pay McCown?
2 years, $10 million.
Yeah, that's nothing. By quarterback money? That's
no.
Nothing.
No.
That's as cheap as they come by quarterback standards.
It's Toby Gerhart.
Let's go to Paulie up next here on 1010XL. Hi, Paulie. How are you?
Yeah, hey, good. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Demps, you're absolutely on the money with your passion about these moves that this franchise is making. I mean, with all respect to your guests, we've been buying these lame excuses since Coughlin left. We've been in, you know, perennial rebuild mode. Let's look at the Eugene Monroe situation. So arguably one of the four best guys on the team when this administration came in was Eugene Monroe. Why would you draft Luke Jokel with your second pick overall or whatever their pick was, that the number one pick? Why would you draft Jokel? But, you know, if the plan was to move him to right tackle and keep Monroe, why did they abandon that? You know, I mean, Jokel has shown nothing. And let's face it, at the point where he starts to get to be where Monroe was, he's going to want that big contract too. Are you then going to abandon him and go to somebody else? You know, just real quickly before I forget, Mercedes Lewis. I mean, can we all just kind of face the fact that this guy just can't get it done? I mean, he's got potential, and he shows that you know, flair every now and then, but the guy can't stay on the field. And, you know, there's another position we need in it that they need to address. And, you know, I'm kind of fired up here, so, you know, I'll leave it at that and enjoy the show and look forward to the comments.
All right, thank you, Paul. The Mercedes thing, I don't have any problem with them going with Mercedes because when you looked at the relative – you look at Mercedes on this roster compared to some other positions, and you said, well – we feel better about him at tight end than we do about some of these offensive line spots. You know, there were bigger problems to solve.
The biggest drop off on the roster was from
Mercedes to whoever
guy,
was
yeah.
behind, right? And this Clay Harbor at least is back and,
sure.
and provides some kind of credible threat. But the joke.
But I get what he's saying. Listen, he's right in effect that Mercedes now has become a little of Cecil Shorts. I mean, he missed 10 games last year. Now he's going to miss 8 games this year. You know, how do you keep Mercedes on the roster at $7 million when he can't stay healthy?
Because
now?
You can't,
and he's 30 years old.
Granted, you can't fix everything in one or two offseason. And I understand
Correct.
That. I understand that. And I do think dynamic pass catching, threaten the defense, tight end is a draft priority for this team moving forward. We're not going to get caught up in draft stuff, thankfully. 4 weeks into the season.
You don't want to get caught up in October.
Quick editorial comment. My co-host, Mark Long.
No, I can be a guest. I'll be a guest. That's
no,
fine.
You're America's guest. The Jokel thing, okay? I don't think they necessarily thought for sure. I think they wanted to, there's a chance that Eugene Monroe is going to turn out to be a guy that we want to resign. There's a chance that he's not. We're going to get this guy. If Eugene Monroe surprises us, great. We'll re-sign him. We'll have two bookend tackles. There's nothing wrong with having bookend tackles. There's a lot of things that went into this. The draft, tell me what was presenting itself in that draft last year as surefire top five talent. You know what I mean?
Well, I think Tony's got the draft up, and I've said this a couple times on the show. The 2000, I think the further we get away from that draft, the more we're going to look back on it and go, it wasn't a great draft. So it didn't matter whether you were picking first, second, third, or tenth. There wasn't a lot there. Nobody was trying to get up into the top five, so you couldn't trade back.
I know Tony likes Ziggy Ansah, for instance.
I still like Ziggy Ansah.
But that's a guy.
He looks really good playing
can't
next
stay
to
healthy.
Right. He looks really good next to Fairley and
the
Sue.
Thing is, he doesn't really look really good. Okay. I mean, he hasn't produced.
Yeah.
So he maybe will.
Who else?
Well, look, that draft isn't very good at this point. I mean, you're talking Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, Deion Jordan, Lane Johnson, Ziggy Ansah. That's your top five right now in that draft. When you go down a couple Pro Bowlers from that year, Eric Reed, Kyle Long, Cordero Patterson are your three Pro Bowlers from the first round. Maybe if you could go back and do things over again, you start seriously considering Star Lulele, who's had a pretty good first couple of years, and Sheldon Richardson. I mean, those are the two guys at defensive tackle, those space eaters that maybe you could reconsider what they did in that draft for, but there's not much there.
There's always somebody that you can reconsider. It's way too early to judge whether Luke Jokel or not is going to work out. I don't criticize the method of selecting the tackle at that spot. Maybe, the money you're paying him, first of all, is not that Sam Bradford money from a few years ago.
And he started five games at left tackle.
Right, but I think his point was if you had Monroe, why are you replacing a guy who may have been one of the better players on your roster
and
anyway?
And Monroe wasn't a system fit.
Because
you're looking
for elite players, period, wherever you can find them. You thought he was the best player available. We got to take another. Sure. This State in Football History brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Mark Long, big fan of the Chicago Staleys. He's an old school throwback guy. The former Staleys played their first NFL game as the Bears in 1922 on this date. They won 6-0 in that game. Also, 1933, the Packers had a game where they made only 5 first downs to the Giants, 0. The Giants win the game 10-7 without a first down in the
defense
entire game.
Defense wins championships.
Oh, just win, baby. That would pack them in, right? That would certainly draw the crowd.
Was Butkus on that Staley's team?
I don't think Butkus played for the Staleys.
Okay.
And then finally, October 1st, 1955, Baltimore's Alan Ameche became the first rookie in league history to top 100 yards rushing in his first two games after totaling 153 against Detroit, following up his debut of 194.
Is that Don's father or grandfather?
I think he is. His half-brother.
Definitely half-brother. One more thing to add to today's date in football history, Mike.
Uh-oh.
Which is, you got a good one that escaped my
yes.
My search engines.
October 1st, 1995, Jacksonville Jaguars 17, Houston Oilers 16.
Yes!
The first victory in Jacksonville Jaguars history.
Yes. Wow, how is that not on your list, Mike?
I don't know, because I don't go to Jaguar-centric search engines, I guess, enough. That's why I have Tony.
What do you think talk radio was like that day?
I'm going to call Tony the co-host. Mark, you're the guest for the rest of the
day.
That was fun. And the next week they beat the Steelers here at home. It was their first home win in franchise history.
Yeah.
It just takes one. They start piling up, as Gus Bradley says.
20-16. Repeat, baby.
To paraphrase Jeff Logman, yesterday, because he actually played against the Steelers in the mid 90s, Mark thought it might be pertinent to the discussion. Said they were the most arrogant bunch rolling in here, probably of any team he had seen.
Yeah.
I think is an accurate representation.
For that 96 game to open up the
season. Hey, O'Halloran and Osier. Log him in. Hope you're under the table now. I know the games you play, all right? The State in Football History. Brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, maybe the custom fit stop snoring mouth guard, or maybe you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The FCC has eliminated its sports blackout rules, paving the way for not only the National Football League, but all professional sports to drop their blackout policies. But the NFL itself is saying that it doesn't have any plan to drop the current blackout rules for teams. In a statement released yesterday, the NFL said the following, quote, NFL teams have made significant efforts in recent years to minimize blackouts. The NFL is the only sports league that televises every one of its game on free over-the-air television. The FCC's decision will not change that commitment for the foreseeable future. In an odd move, the Indianapolis Colts and last year's leading sack man, the NFL, Robert Mathis, have agreed to a one-year contract extension that will keep Mathis with the team through 2016.
Can't sign that guy. Got to build through the draft.
Right. Mathis was suspended for the first four games this season. He has been placed on IR after tearing his Achilles tendon working out in Atlanta during his time away from the team. So he won't play in 2014. He was signed with the club through the end of next year. Mathis is expected to make about $6 million in 2016 with this extension. And it takes about a year to recover from an Achilles generally, right? Before a player's the same guy. That's a weird contract.
I think Irsay needs Mathis to keep his mouth shut on other matters. That's my guess. I don't know what those matters might
be. It's hush money?
I didn't characterize it as hush money from the Associated Press, Mark Long, our guest today on Jaguars Today.
Hey, look, you put me in my place. I mean, I'm replaceable, very replaceable.
No,
I'm just a guest.
Well, tomorrow we'll have, we'll go
to Logovan. Bring back Logovan.
Well, if I could, he's not available.
If
five
you
days
could,
a week.
It would be the Logovan Dempsey show.
I wouldn't be here. It'd be just the Logovan show is what it would be. Logovan and Heels is what it would be. The Jeff Logovan and Heels show, coming up.
I'm in for that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would be. 641-1010, I believe Mimi is next on the line. Hello, Mimi. Welcome to Jaguars Today. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm just real happy to talk to you. I love your show. Listen all day. You have outstanding programming. I wanted to say that the previous caller was right on the money as far as Mercedes Lewis, Luke Jokel, and I want to add Cecil Shorts because these guys just and I know there have been injuries, but you get weary after a while. and the other thing, I wanted to give a reason as to why I absolutely hate the Steelers.
All right.
Every time we play them, they show up down here in droves at Everbank Field as if it was their own Three Rivers Stadium, and I think we need to kick their butts back to Pittsburgh and catch some Blake fever this weekend and go Jags!
Yeah! Mimi. Way to go, Mimi. All right. Thank you for the call there. By the way, there are some limited seats still available, 633-2000 or jaguars.com/tickets.
Who bears the brunt of the blame for Steelers fans invading your stadium?
I don't know if there's
Steelers
a blame issue.
Fans deserve credit.
Right.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Okay, but who's selling them the tickets? Who's allowing that to happen, you know?
Well, it's obviously some of them, they buy up tickets that are available to the public, but clearly fans sell the tickets.
Okay, then that's on the fans.
I get you. I think Mimi is saying, let's send them back.
I'll bet they don't go to Green Bay and dominate when they're playing there.
They played them there just a couple years ago. I mean, and there were thousands of Steeler fans in that crowd. They show up everywhere they go. I mean, it's
because they've all left that godforsaken hellhole of a city, and they're spread out to the four winds. Are you kidding me? Seriously, if Pittsburgh's so great, the hell are you doing in California? All right, it's not so great. All right,
it's cold.
All right, Carnegie Mellon, they're dead, I believe.
So two callers in a row down on Cecil, down on Mercedes, down on Luke Jokel.
Hey, they can be down on whoever they.
Jokel.
You don't think it's forget Jokel for a second. You don't think it's understandable to be down on Cecil Shorts right now? If you're a Jaguar fan, put yourself in a fan's position. Like, man, is this guy ever healthy?
I said yesterday on the radio that I thought this is it for him. He's done.
I agree with you.
I think now you make the decision. No matter what happens the rest of the way, I think. Dave Caldwell can make the decision, and especially it helps when Allen Robinson and Alan Hearns are doing what they're doing.
Especially Alan Hearns, because that's a freebie
and
almost.
And by the way,
that's credit to Dave Caldwell.
And by the way, you're
getting
Ace Sanders back.
Correct.
And
I thought O'Halloran had him cut.
Let's not forget there are whispers in this building that, you ready for this? That Justin Blackman.
I knew you were going to say
Blackman
that name.
Is finally getting help, and maybe on the right path to getting back in the league.
And all right, I think that is major interest to Jaguar fans.
As it should be.
But it's not something you can count on. Okay.
You can't absolutely.
The organization
can't count, and they won't. No,
even if
and they won't. And they didn't because they went and drafted two guys.
But let's say, best case scenario, if that were the case, talking 2015 here.
Sure.
Right? So, But I agree with you. I think Cecil Shorts being a contract year, being the fact that they had talked about an extension in the offseason, but you typically don't see too many of them sign the Robert Mathis deal, notwithstanding yesterday, signed in season. How can you give any kind of significant money to a guy who has had this many injuries?
And unless he wants to sign for the veteran minimum,
right,
he will not be playing here. And I'm not even sure you take that run. I mean, you invest so much in a guy on the practice field, in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, all of that, and then him not being able to stay to be available to you on the flip side, it's problematic.
Right, but you invest time. I mean, to me, if you could get him at the right price, that's one thing. I
probably.
Mean, get him for a couple $1 million even.
Sure.
I mean, you're
and
talking
I said
about...
this before. I said Cecil's the perfect guy in that room filled with young guys. He's a perfect guy in the locker room. He's a leader guy. Does everything the right way in terms of on and off the field, in the meeting rooms, on the practice field. I mean, he's really a joy to have around. You just want him to be available on Sunday.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, let's get Bruce up next here on Jaguars Today. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, guys. I love the show.
Thank you, man.
I've been a season ticket holder for this is my fifth year, and so let's just talk a little math. I hate to pile on here, but it just so happens that in the last 100 games, which dates back to game one of 2008, we have 32 wins. So what percentage is that in 100 games of wins?
37. No, I'm sorry. 32.
Percentages are based on 100. 32%.
I'm just kidding. 32.
So I just want to vent. I mean, I love the Jaguars. I love our town. I want nothing more than for us to do well. But like last year, and one guy you talked about, Pot Roast, with some other players. I mean, what about Eugene Monroe? Yeah, I thought he was our best offensive lineman, and they just gave him away for what, a fifth, sixth round pick. I'm not buying what these people are selling anymore. I mean,
well,
I'll
the question is, do you think Eugene Monroe is worth the contract that the Baltimore Ravens gave him? That's the question, because he was going to be a free agent. So you have to decide whether or not he's worth a multi-million dollar long-term investment. And if you don't think that he's the right guy long-term for the position, you
or
get
fits
what you
your
can
scheme,
for. Or, right.
Which
maybe,
is a big
maybe
issue.
That's why you don't think
right.
he's the right guy, because he's not a scheme fit. Bruce, appreciate the call and appreciate the point of view. Certainly, the Eugene Monroe thing, I don't have a big issue with. You've got to evaluate what you think. Just because he's the best of a bad roster full of guys doesn't mean he's worth the investment of 4 years, $30 million or whatever. I mean, he got a pretty good contract from Baltimore when it was all said and done.
Yeah, absolutely. Great contract. Great for Eugene.
You got to be sure he's your anchor if you're going to give him that. If you're the Jags.
And was he one of the top five left tackles in the league? I don't think he was. I don't think he is.
No.
So you probably go in a different direction, because you're always looking for your Tony Boselli. You're always, and I'm not saying Luke Jokel's that, but I think Luke Jokel has upside. I think we know what Eugene Monroe is at this point. I don't think we know what Luke Jokel is at this point. And when you're talking about paying the two of them, you know, you're paying Luke Jokel a whole lot less than you're paying whatever the left tackle is for the Baltimore Ravens, Eugene Monroe.
Wow, that was the quickest anyone's ever forgotten a name.
And I move on.
That's why he's America's favorite guest, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Long of the Associated Press. Got to take a timeout. 641-1010. Enjoying the spirited debate / discussion. You can be a part of it. Weigh in on the fan feedback spotlight today. Why do you hate the Steelers? Got a pair of tickets to the game, and including a pair of tickets, passes to the Bud Light pregame party as well on the line. Tweet us, post on the Facebook page, or 641-1010. And Metro Rooter Wednesday continues on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I gotta say, man, Twitter is ablaze with reasons to hate the Steelers today. Absolutely love most of them. There are some pretty damn good ones on there. Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, whether it's in-home, at your business, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it, that has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has the solution for you. Same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. They've been serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911 for all your plumbing concerns. We hope you don't have any, but if you do, we'll take care of it. Mike and the mechanics, Mike Tomlin. Don't call me a player coach. That's racist. I mean, did you see? I mean, seriously, did you see the Mike Tomlin comments about that? He said, I don't like the term player coach. Why isn't Dick LeBeau referred to as a player's coach? Because we're talking about head coaches. Jack Del Rio is called a player's coach.
Absolutely.
Right?
He is.
And he goes, I think it has to do with too often it goes down the road of what kind of style hair I wear, what clothes I wear. Well, yeah, when you wear more casual clothing on the sideline, when you're not seen as being uptight, you do. When you're younger, these are all reasons that you seem to relate to your players well. There are plenty of coaches that you play for. Bill Belichick, I don't know, they may swear by him because he gets results this year notwithstanding. He's not a player's coach.
No, not at all. He doesn't defend guys.
Hey, Logan Mankins, what do you think about Bill Belichick?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I'll say is a lot of coaches don't go in the locker room. To me, a player's coach is a guy who's not only does he want to go in the locker room, but he's welcome in the locker room. But a lot of these head coaches they consider that the player's domain. And they completely avoid it.
Yeah, I heard somebody complaining yesterday about Jim Harbaugh said, you know, I've got veterans that I rely on to keep me in touch with the pulse of the locker room. And they're ripping it. Well, why don't you go in yourself? You can't win in some of these circumstances. There's nothing wrong. You don't want to be in there all the time. Everything good? I mean, they're not going to tell you, first of all, right? I mean, hey, it's an open session here. Feel free. My door's open. Bring it right out on the carpet. How do you feel? Hey, third string backup safety, how do you feel about me, right? I mean, they're not going to give you the answer. So what's wrong with having a half dozen guys that are integrated in that locker room that you trust and have been around and they have the best interests of the team at heart? I didn't think there's anything wrong with that approach.
No, I'm with you. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh would be ever classified as a player's coach. But he's not a front office coach either. He seems to be
a Jim Harbaugh coach. Right. Yes.
Yeah, he's all about Jim.
He's a Michigan man.
Oh, man. We've talked about Jim Harbaugh before, though. When it goes south in San Francisco, it's going to go south so quickly.
And ugly.
Because he grates everybody the wrong way. I mean, it's not just that the players don't love him. The front office doesn't love him. Nobody really likes Jim Harbaugh. You'll tolerate all that crap if you're winning consistently. As soon as it slips a little bit, it's just going to be chaos.
And these guys, too, that are all was it Herm Edwards who said, hey, if you got a story good enough, put your name on it? Come on. Are you telling me Herm Edwards, in his role as an ESPN talking head, doesn't talk to players and coaches off the record and use that information to further his analysis? Of course he does.
If he doesn't, he's an idiot.
Right. I mean, that's how the world works. Oh, you know what? Anonymous sources, forget them. We never would have found out about Watergate or a million other things along the line. Let's go to the line, 641-1010. Dave, you're up next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Hey, Guy, I'm doing fine, doing great, guys. Listen, I appreciate the greatest sports talk radio station in America taking my call, man.
Dad called in today, too.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Your whole
Mom
family.
And Dad, doubleheader.
Let me tell you what, man, I'm a senior citizen, man. I'm an old man. I'm a gray-haired old man, but my ass will, excuse me, can I say that, will be in
just
my
it.
Seat this gone. Sunday. This is a new era, Guy. The past is gone. Our season, the portal is open, man. Our season begins this Sunday, and I hope every single fan in Jacksonville and every single seat in that stadium is completely full. I'm too old to tweet, so I don't know how to do all that stuff. So I probably can't get in the runnings for the tickets, but let me tell you why I hate Pittsburgh Steeler fans, man. Three seasons ago, my son and I were sitting there rooting for our Jaguars, man, and this inebriated son of a gun behind me, this young kid from Pittsburgh, kept beating me in the back of the head with his terrible towel. I let that go on for a couple of quarters, and finally I turned around, I snatched that towel out of his hand, I blew my nose in it and stuck it in my pocket. I still have that terrible towel. It's hanging on my living room wall, and it reminds me of how much I hate these Steelers fans. So if you're listening, guys, and if you're the poor son of a gun that gave me your towel, my towel, your towel, will be there this Sunday. And again, I will either blow my nose into it or do some obscene things down in the men's restroom with it. That's why I hate Pittsburgh Steeler fans.
Thanks. Thank you, Dad.
Wow, great
appreciate
call.
That. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, by the way. Classy.
I love that he says the guy gave him his towel, by the way.
He snatched that towel, man. Good for you, Dave.
You guy's still in shock.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, wanton theft of property is allowable, but the occasional terrible towel, I'm sure if he wanted it back, he would have been happy to hand it back to him, a used terrible towel. Jim, you're up next. You're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Morning, Mike. Listen, I did want to tell you one thing. I love the app for the station because up here in the Carolinas, I'm able to listen to your program. Although I am kind of getting Dempsey'd out because since my wife's got into fantasy football, can't miss radio is Mike Dempsey on the satellite. It's like, yeah. Oh, come on.
You got me. I'm pretty much 24 hours a day on an endless
yes,
loop.
I know. I
can't. Listen, you're not the only one Dempsey'd out. His
My
wife
is
his
so
wife
Dempsey'd
is so
out.
Dempsey'd
it's not even funny.
And then you got a coach media person who runs around high-fiving the coaches now as your guest. So that's I kind of right. wonder about that a little bit.
Wow.
But anyway, just real quick.
I
was born in Ohio, so I hate this. I was born into a Bengals, Browns, Cincinnati Reds family, and everything out of Pittsburgh was nasty. I mean, to this day, when we, our family, comes on the radio, I change the station. You know, it's like, oh. It's that bad. Everything Pittsburgh-related is bad. And my wife, who grew up in Jacksonville, just hates the Steelers because of their arrogance. So, I mean, that's the main thing for us. It's a true hate family-wide. But the other thing, too, I wanted to ask you about this, and this is on the whole issue with Gus. You know, Tomlin really went off on his team in the post-game press conference the other day. I think as a fan and as a season ticket holder since day one, you know, there's a part of you that wants to see a little bit of that out of Gus. I'm not advocating, you know, berating your players in public. However, there's a, you know, some of that you'd like to see a little more anger about some of the breakdowns versus, well, we're just going to work to get better. I mean, that's just my big issue with the whole thing. All right, guys.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting take, but I'll say this about Gus. You're not going to get that. You're going to get maybe his do your job speech. You're going to get maybe a little bit of raised voice every once in a while. We've seen him halt practice and bring guys together and kind of lay into them a little bit. But it's not his style. He is very, very into consistency and being the same person day in and day out, week in and week out, win, lose, draw, about keeping the same, being the same person. And he's really into it in terms of being the same in the locker room and on the sidelines as he is at home. We got in this fascinating discussion 2 weeks ago about how people in our business, he feels like you guys can be so negative at times. And he's like, how do you go home and not be negative? And I'm like, well, and he wasn't referring to me.
Who says we do?
And he wasn't referring to me, but he's really got this whole into his, he's really deep thought guy and into the psychology behind everything. And I said, well, for some people, they can flip that switch, but for him, it is, there's no switch. He wants to be the same person week in and week out. And I think players respond to that and players appreciate that, especially some of the guys who have been here a long time, which isn't many. But Jack Del Rio was a roller coaster guy. One week he would say, treat him one way. One week it would be totally different. You just never knew what you were getting. And even Mike Mularkey, he started off being very consistent. And then when things went south, he went south too and totally changed kind of the way he handled player meetings and locker room and all that stuff. So players respond to the consistency that Gus has.
Well, sure. I mean, when you raise your kids, you want to be consistent with the way you treat them, but it doesn't mean you're every day you're accentuating the positive. Hey, enough of this misbehaving in class, or you know what I mean? I mean, so look, for me, it's not even about negative. I'm not. This is just reality. You and I are sitting here. I'm not angry about it.
No.
You know what I mean? I come across as angry a lot.
Well,
I'll tell you when I get
angry. I got called
angry.
Out for being angry. Yeah, I suppose yesterday. sounded angry yesterday on the radio. So
it's just, look, I'm just trying to give you, from my perspective, what I think there's a segment, a point of view from the fan base that is saying, okay, I get it, patience and all these things, but where are the steps that show improvement along the way? And I'm not denying that Bortles is a major step in the right direction, but you're still, the end result is, if you're a ticket buying customer, you're still being asked to pay full price to sit through, albeit only one home game so far, what has been blowout after blowout after blowout after blowout after starting the year. And we said at 0-8 last year, it can't get any worse than this. Well, it may not have gotten worse, but it is remarkably the same through the first month of the season. So.
It is, and you're absolutely correct, and it's similar in terms of they've played some tough teams, played three of the first four on the road. I think that it turned last year after the first eight games. I think it's got a chance of turning earlier this year toward the positive.
I hope you're right. I mean, I think these next four games are imminently more winnable than they were, but we can break down each one and look at reasons. I think Tennessee, honestly, is the most winnable of these games coming up. Miami's playing pretty good football right now. You know, they feel like they're a contender this year. Cleveland's been competitive in all their games, hasn't won all their games. And certainly Pittsburgh, with the offensive weapons that they bring to the table, is difficult envisioning the Jaguars defense really shutting them down or slowing them down too much this week. Let's get Alan in before we break. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hello, boys.
What's up?
Very good dialogue today. Just want to let you know, I've played in both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And the only good thing I can say about Pittsburgh is it's not Philadelphia.
All right.
Because they're both slime pits. Anyway, enjoy the game this weekend.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan.
That is generally, Philadelphia is considered the one spot that you don't want to take. You don't really want to go as a visiting fan. You certainly don't want to take your family, your kids to Philadelphia for any sport, specifically the football team. But I think it goes for hockey, baseball, whatever.
That's the reputation.
Philly,
yes.
That is the reputation that Philly's the worst visiting fans in the league.
I haven't been to Oakland, but they have a pretty bad reputation.
They do. If you're in the hole there, if you're down low,
right,
probably. But they got sections in Oakland where you're safe. I'm not sure there's
anything.
There's anything in Philly that's safe.
All right, slime pits. It's always sunny in Philadelphia is the only good thing that's come out of Philadelphia.
Rocky
recently.
Rocky's pretty good.
Oh, recently, he said recently.
I think Fortunato's a little taken aback. But
oh, is he a Philly guy?
Based on where his history, his lineage is from. All right, coming up, we'll have your Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute injury report for the week. We'll look back at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight. Why do you hate the Steelers? So many reasons. So difficult to choose just one. But if you do choose a really good one, you may be going to the game courtesy of us with a pair of tickets and a pair of passes to the Bud Light pregame party. Enjoy responsibly. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5. All right, Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today continuing live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Led Zeppelin, Moby Dick, Moby Dick LeBeau.
Too easy now.
Oh, now it is. Yeah. Oh, wow.
You think you would have got it on the second one?
Hell no.
You think you would have got it?
Me? Would I have gotten it? When I get it, it's like it must be the easiest theme of the week because it's not that frequent.
Well, the second one, I would have been all over it.
Would you have been all over
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you would have.
Kinda, with the Todd thing, I was like, is she going to do
really
going to
go Haley?
Yeah, I was like, is she going to go Todd Haley? But when Ben had come up, I would have been like, I'm in it.
All right.
I figured I would not put Ben second if y'all hadn't gotten it, but since y'all had, it didn't really matter.
All right. Metro Rooter Wednesday continues. We'll look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up here momentarily. Some fantastic replies and a lot of very legitimate reasons to hate the Steelers. But time now for your Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute injury report. And in for Dr. Stephen Lucy this week, Dr. John Von Thrawn, one of 31 physicians at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Von Thrawn, how are you?
Doing very well. It's great to be here today.
Great to have you in here. And let's talk hamstrings, okay? And without getting into the specifics of any one individual player's hamstrings, Cecil Short's out now. This has been chronic's the right word, but it's been an on-again, off-again, recurring situation with him, as it seems to be for so many players with this injury. Why specifically hamstrings do they seem to recur so often?
Well, it's a tough injury, and unless you're someone who's actually had a hamstring injury, I don't think you can fully understand how incapacitating it can be. You know, whether you're an NFL player or play for the Jacks Beach Flag Football League, if you get a hamstring injury, it can shut you down. And the biggest problem is that to really, truly get it to heal, you really need to take off 6, 8, 12 weeks to get it to fully heal. So if you're a competitive athlete, you know, after 2 or 3 weeks, you start feeling a little bit better, and you think, it's okay, I'll go back and try. And then, you know, first time you go sprinting for a ball, you tear it again. So it's just difficult to get it to fully heal if you don't give it enough time.
What is the genesis, though, of so many of these injuries? Is it not being properly stretched out? Is it just that you're taxing these muscles so much and putting them in awkward positions that no matter how loose you get, you're bound to suffer some of these from time to time?
That is it. It just, and these guys are just using their burst of speed, and they're putting a lot of stress on the muscles, and you know, particularly late in the game when they're getting a little fatigued and maybe a little cramped up, that can put more stress on it as well.
But it does seem that, I would assume, like with a calf muscle or anything else, you know, after a certain period of time, it's going to feel better. Is the hamstring the trickier one, though? Is that the one that kind of fools you more as an athlete?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, after a few weeks, you might be feeling fine just jogging around or on the exercise bike and think you can do it. But then you do that little extra burst of speed to go after a ball, and it tears again.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, we saw Dwayne Grotz, the way he landed on the top of his helmet. And, you know, I feel he's fortunate to walk away, period, you know, but the concussion to be the concern, which is scary enough. But obviously you're thinking, boy, neck damage, something like that. When a guy lands in the crown of his helmet, and it was just such an awkward thing, you can't prevent it sometimes from happening. It's why the NFL is really trying to do a much better job about guys not leading with helmet-to-helmet contact and things like that. What can athletes do to help prevent some kind of neck injury? Are there exercises you can do? Is it just being aware of how you carry yourself, making sure you see what you hit if you're a defensive player, things like that?
Well, certainly you can do some exercises to strengthen the muscles around your neck, but it still comes down to technique and, your proper tackling techniques, for instance, and not leading with the head. But then in this case, you're speaking of obviously just laying on your head. It's hard to avoid that. And you're right. He's very fortunate that there wasn't more, serious injury, a neck injury, et cetera.
Yeah. When you watch games and you see something like that happen, do you go right into diagnosis mode? How do you, when you see, do you look at it from a different perspective than us mere mortals?
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes I do that and then I can't watch anymore. There's a lot of times there'll be like some of the more horrific injuries you see,
right,
and they keep replaying. I just can't watch it because I kind of know what's happened to the player, and
right,
I just feel so bad for him and know what he's about ready to have to go through over the next year or whatever. And so there's a lot of times I can't watch it.
What is it with teams for the Jags this year? I think it seemed like it was just bad luck. This seemed like the wide receiver group was just peppered with injuries, some of them similar, but all at the same time. Is that just the case? You got a lot of guys in the offseason running a lot of, they're running more than practically any players out there, and that's why maybe they're more susceptible to some of the soft tissue stuff?
Yeah, that can be. Again, it's if they're not stretching, if they're too tight, if they're fatigued, that can lead to more injuries.
Are we going to find out down the road here, 20, 30 years, that certain people are just more susceptible to concussions than others? But from a genetic, maybe a DNA standpoint, or you think that's a stretch?
That may be the case. I think the whole concussion area is still undergoing a tremendous amount of research, and nobody really fully understands the genesis and the long-term consequences. Obviously we do know that if you have concussions when you're younger, you're much more susceptible to getting subsequent concussions. So that is a pretty well-known fact.
All right, Dr. John Von Thrawn, again, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Every week, the folks from JOI, Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute, help us try to understand the injury situation, whether it's with the Jags or just around the National Football League, a little bit more clearly. Dr. Von Thrawn, we appreciate your time today.
He's kind of a Philly guy, by the way.
Are you kind of a Philly guy? You're the
kind
only good
of,
thing to come out of Philadelphia.
No.
Went to
no.
school there. That counts as being
true.
Somewhat of a Philly guy, right?
Well, I went to school at Princeton, but I grew up in Cocoa Beach, Florida, actually. Oh, but right. I've attended several events in Philadelphia. So.
Princeton's a New Jersey school.
Penn. Well, I was thinking Penn, sorry, in my head. We had mentioned Penn earlier.
He went to the satellite campus.
He went to that other Ivy League school.
In the city of brotherly love. Dr. Von Thrawn, we appreciate
your
Jersey expertise.
Jersey, Philly, it's all the same.
For helping us out. We need the help.
Glad to be here.
Thank you very much. All right, there you go. That's your Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Injury Spotlight for the week. Your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asked you today, Well, if you want tickets, come up with the best reason why you hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tony. We got a bunch of them.
We have a clubhouse leader, too.
We do. Looking at some of the responses we got on Twitter, though, from David, I hate the Steelers because I had to listen to Vic Ketchman for years tell us how the Steelers used to do it.
Amen. I like Vic, but
oh,
hey,
he could have said Vito.
Man.
He could have said Vito,
okay,
in there, too.
Another jar on the shelf in the Steeler fashion. Ah.
From Miguel, we got, where do I start? That stupid towel, the fans, worthless burger, Palomalu's hair commercial, etc. Ugh. From Josh, we got yellow towel, Nuff said, we'll be waving mine on Sunday, hashtag teal towel, hashtag keep up the penalties, Pitt. From Judson, we got Steelers play like patsies, hashtag Steelers want a pillow fight, hashtag LeVon Kirkland belongs in the WNFL. From Punisher, we got, because there was the black and yellow song their Super Bowl year, and there's no teal and gold song. From Duval Doom, their fans, most obnoxious fans in the NFL, hands down. Hashtag, I need those tickets. Hashtag, F the Titans still, though. From Area Man, we got, their Wikipedia page fails to mention the 2007 wild card loss to the Jaguars. I love that one.
Oversight. Just the oversight.
From Isom, we got, most of their fans couldn't find Pittsburgh on a map. From at Irish Jaguar, way too many to fit into 140 characters. From Chuck, bottom line, I'm jealous of the success and the original rivalry for the Jags. From Paolo, I hate those damn towels. Hashtag first win on Sunday. From Mike, bandwagon fans. From Larry, because Pennsylvania sucks. Hashtag, that's for my Steeler fan buddies. From Ocho Fisho, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood traumatized me. That damn trolley. finally,
that's from, pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, from Joshua, we got, they have the most arrogant fans ever. Whine when they lose, brag when they win, pull a Bane and blow up the field. Hashtag Jaguars wow. today.
All right, I got a few more here. I got a bunch, actually. I'll just read you a couple quick ones from Facebook. Alan Lynn said, I have a thing against giant chins, Omar Epps lookalikes, yellow towels, how scary, and obnoxious fans who still live in the 70s. Hashtag Jaguars today. And Cass Bridges, because they're trying to compare Roethlisberger to Blake Bortles. What an insult. That guy is an ass. Hashtag need a towel to wipe with. Hashtag Jaguars today.
A lot of hashtags.
We encourage them. We encourage the hashtaggery.
No Randy's in there.
No. We've kind of, I guess, Shut Up Randy is kind of, I don't know if Die to Quiet Death might be a little strong, but.
It's probably because we didn't make t-shirts.
Sad.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. We'll pick one of those. And the Wikipedia page is pretty good.
So is the Vic Ketchman.
I checked. It's not on the Wikipedia page. They have a specific page for this 2007 Steelers season.
Right.
That obviously it's chronicled on. But on their general page where they go through the Mike Tomlin era, that was his first season up there, they do not mention that he lost his first playoff game.
Huh. They don't. They'd rather not make it to the playoffs and lose twice in one season to the same upstart franchise from Jacksonville, Florida. All right, plenty of reasons to hate the Steelers. We know. Be on the lookout on social media if you did weigh in today, and we'll get with you. You need to pick up the tickets in the next couple of days. We'll have them for you over there at 9090 Hogan Road. Also, the old school Jaguar photo contest going on, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida. Go to the Facebook page as well. And the theme, if you want to try to win tickets to the next home game, the Cleveland home game, plus a pair of passes to the 1010XL pregame party, just post a photo in the Facebook thread with the theme old school Jaguars. I felt like we went toe-to-toe a little bit today. It was enjoyable.
We did.
I like that.
We had a little banter.
We'll continue. Why so angry?
I'm not angry.
We'll continue these thoughts. Look, I hope we come in next week and they're 1-4 and we can talk about, well, now it doesn't feel like it felt this time after five games.
And
last
then
year.
The nitpicking will stop. If they got to start winning, and the nitpicking will stop.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand your points as well. The bottom line, the biggest difference is clearly the quarterback. I mean, you sure. feel like. You hope that, okay, this guy could turn out to be special. We didn't really get to Gil Brandt's draft but the point of it was, if he feels if the Texans could pull the trigger today with the first pick of the draft, the clear pick would be Blake Bortles to take number one, in which case he had the Jags, by the way, taking C.J. Mosley, the linebacker who went to Baltimore.
Be the second C.J. Mosley on the team.
Historically, right? He's played well in the early going. I think you're much happier having a potential franchise quarterback than an interior linebacker on your squad.
No question.
And he also said Allen Hurns, if the draft were today, may go as high as the third round based on early results. However, I again feel had he dropped the one this week, he would have been no better than a fifth rounder. We got a four-game sample to judge everything on. Let's do it. Hey, welcome to the world of sports talk and talk radio and all that stuff. Unless you're an Associated Press scribe like Mark Long.
A guest
all right.
to your show.
Blake Bortles coming up at noon today.
Yes,
locker
room.
All right. Mark Long on Twitter, at AP Mark Long. He is America's guest and my absolute favorite Wednesday co-host of Jaguars Today. We'll see you later, bud. There he goes. All right. Log him in. Drink three more times for the rest of the Jaguar media out there. All right. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Metro Rooter for bringing you the show every Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to all of our sponsors out there. Thanks to Dr. Von Thrawn for stepping in with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute injury report this week. So for Mark Long, for Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to the boys from XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.